morning, friends. Good morning and welcome to Worship at Trinity. It's good that you're here this morning. My name is Aaron Russo. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity. And this morning I'm joined by Reverend Cliff Patrick, who's going to be helping me out while Reverend Steve Price and Reverend Catherine Luck Price are out over the next couple of weeks. Wanted to let you know about a few things before we got started with our service this morning. First, there's always so much going on here at Trinity, so you are encouraged to read the bulletin. There's always good information to be found in there, to go to our website, to follow us on social media, and then plug into those things that are of interest to you. Want to highlight a few things quickly for your attention this morning. First, each Sunday between now and Thanksgiving, we will be working to collect what we need to put together 1,500 Thanksgiving baskets for families in need around Gainesville. And so you'll find inside your bulletin a list of those items with the dates of what we'll be collecting. Today we're collecting gravy packets, and next week we'll be collecting stuffing, and so on and so forth. So help us prepare those Thanksgiving baskets by bringing those items each week. Also wanted to let you know that we have a new art show debuting on the second floor of our education wing this week, and it features art from the children who participate in Kids Count over at Faith Mission and children from Rawlings Elementary, a school that we have a partnership with. So I encourage you to check that out. There is a reception this morning after the 11 o'clock service as that art show makes its debut. This morning's mission box is for our sister church in Cuba, Cienfuegos, Cuba, and we invite you to help support their ministry by giving generously at any of the mission box locations you see as you leave this morning. Inside your bulletin, you should have found a Connect card, and we encourage you to fill that out. If you are here all the time, just your name and your email address will do. If you're here for the first time today, please fill out as much information as you feel comfortable so that we might be able to reach out to you and let you know more about our church here at Trinity, and we can find out more about you. But we're really glad that you're here this morning. So, would you all please stand now and greet one another in the love of Christ? Oh, wait, I forgot our tradition. Welcome home. Would you please stand and greet one another this morning?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Thank you. perfectly good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It's good to proclaim our unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing joy because of what you have done. Let us pray. Father, we've come now at the hour of worship, the time that we set aside that we will worship you. We come now, God, lifting up our hearts, lifting up our minds, coming to worship you in holiness. Coming, dear God, to worship you with our heart, mind, strength, and soul. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Glory be to God. I believe in God, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, descended into the dead. Third day he arose from the dead, descended into the dead, and sits at the right hand of God. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, communion, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, life eternal. Now that we speak with our Lord, we will talk to God, tell him about our concerns, giving him joy and praise for what he has done in our life. This morning, if you have certain concerns on your heart, we pray that you present them to the Lord. As you can see, we have some that are in the rehab or in specialty care. Remember them also in your prayers. Don't forget our pastors that they are traveling, so they are sick. Let us know. Holy and most righteous Father, we thank you now for all you have done for us. How you have blessed us, how you have kept us safe. And, oh God, we come this morning to lift our hearts and minds and to say thank you. But also, God, we have many concerns on our hearts. We have loved ones that are in need of help from you. Some need a touch for their bodies. Some need a touch for their mind. Oh God, we ask now that you look upon us as we go forth sharing your love. Oh God, that we'll be able, dear God, to show the world that we are your children. The word said that they will know us by our love. So, oh God, that we unite our hearts. We thank you on this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, let us all pray together. Our Thank you.
our joy and our privilege to give back to God from what He's given us for the ministries of this church, for ministries that we pray change hearts and lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let us offer ourselves back to God. God, we thank You that we are gathered here this morning and for the privilege it is to give back to You from what You have given to us. We pray, O God, that You multiply our tithes, our offerings, have Your will and Your way with them. We pray. Ancient word, ever true, changing me, changing you. Thank you, Chancel Choir, for that offering this morning. Appropriate words as we continue this message series that we've been in called The Skim, The Bible in 6 Weeks. So I wanted to begin with a quick skim of all that we've covered so far. Steve began the series at the Bible's beginning with the law, or the Pentateuch, which is comprised of the first five books of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. The stem of this portion of the Old Testament is the simple yet awe-inspiring truth that since the dawn of creation, God has been with humankind. And all along, we've been invited to participate in God's saving work with us. Catherine continued the series, and because of Hurricane Irma, had to cover both the history writings, which is comprised of the next 12 books of the Old Testament, from Joshua to Esther, and the wisdom writings, which are the five that come after, from Job to Song of Solomon, 17 books in all. The skim of the history writings is that they tell the story of God's people, with particular attention to the circumstances in which they lived, and their encounters with a God they believed was alive and active in the world, in their community, and in them. The skim of the wisdom writings is that through the living of their story, God's people came to know the nature of God as both chesed, the Hebrew word I believe to be best defined as faithful love, and mishpat, the Hebrew word defined as justice. Simply put then, God is loving and just. Steve continued the next week with the prophets, which is comprised of the final 17 books of the Old Testament, from Isaiah to Malachi. It's been said that prophets use words to remake the world. So the stem of the prophets is that God's people had slipped into some bad habits, like compartmentalizing their lives into secular and sacred. They wrongly believed that their secular existence, work, school, leisure, government, and social relations and such, was what they were in charge of. Conversely, they believed the sacred, worship, scriptures, prayer, and such, was what God was in charge of. The prophets would have none of this, insisting that God was in charge of it all. So God used prophets like Micah to reconcile God's people with God and remind them that they are to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with God in every aspect of their life together. Following the skim of the 39 books of the Old Testament, last week Catherine began our skim of the 27 books of the New Testament with a look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which tell the story of Jesus Christ. I think Eugene Peterson best captured the skim of the Gospels when he wrote, "The arrival of Jesus signaled the beginning of a new era. God entered history in a personal way and made it unmistakably clear that he is on our side, doing everything possible to save us. It was all presented and worked out in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus." Which finally brings us to our task this morning, to skim the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles, which comprise the 22 books and letters that follow the Gospels in the New Testament. Yes, you heard that correctly, 22. And if you've been doing the math, that means that next week Lenora will conclude our series having to preach about only one book. In the interest of full and fair disclosure, though, I was given the choice between this Sunday and next, and I chose this one, so I wouldn't have to preach Revelation. Before we get to it, let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning, so that in the reading of the Scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, your word is shown. Hear now these words from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, chapter chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and this is from the Message. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by one by the Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. The Word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God.
Over a cup of coffee.
I will walk hard in everything I do.
I will make the world around me a more beautiful place.
I will be the light in my community.
I will!
I will serve God by translating the gospel through sign language.
I will give praise for China.
We will love one another.
I will write a new song which will draw people closer to God in a new way.
We will make time daily for God to form our character.
We will serve the Lord with faith and joy.
Undoten die Exemplinge van u te mir.
I will pursue the vision that God has for my life.
I will honor God right where I am.
Я буду любить.
I will be a better leader.
Finish the race.
We'll support each other in community as mothers of special needs children.
Mes dirbsim kartu.
أنا مولود حر. قررت إني أعيش حر.
I will stand up for what I believe.
Я сделаю все для развития церковного лидерства в моей стране.
I will serve the kingdom by actively showing the love of God to our nation.
I will make the gospel relevant through my work and through my life.
I will follow Jesus every day.
Person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. In some ways, that verse is itself the skim of both Acts and the epistles. If the Gospels, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of the life and ministry of Jesus, then the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles tell the story of the life and ministry of the early church, empowered by God's Spirit. There is a movement to the New Testament that is akin to the movement of the Old Testament. The Pentateuch tells the story of God being with us from humankind's beginning, and the history writings tell the story of their response to creator. The Gospels tell the story of God being with humankind in a new way, a whole new way, by personally entering history in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Acts of the Apostles then tell the story of the early church and their response to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God our Savior. Luke's purpose in writing the Acts of the Apostles was that it would serve as volume 2 of the story of Jesus, because the story of Jesus did not end with his resurrection. The story continued through those in the early church who believed in Jesus. The Acts story begins with a recounting of how the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days. Then, before ascending into heaven, Jesus instructed the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for a few more days until they received the power of the Holy Spirit, so they might be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And that's just what happened on the day of 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 tell us they, the disciples, were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. And speak they did. Over the course of the remaining chapters of Acts, we read about the activity, the preaching, trials of the disciples as they carried out the mission given them by Jesus to be witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ. Focusing mostly on the ministry of Peter and then later Paul, the story of the early church unfolds precisely as Jesus said it would. What began in the upper room in Jerusalem spread to Samaria and Judea and far beyond. Without the life and ministry of the early church, Christianity would not exist today. One by one by one, people all over the known world came to believe that Jesus was God alive among them, for them, and the gift of God's Holy Spirit was at work in and through them. We know from Acts that these believers took to heart that they had all been given something to do that would show a watching world who God is. So they all got in on the action, telling stories about how hearts and lives had been changed by Jesus. They sang songs. They prayed. They shared communion. And over about 50 years, they collected the writings that would eventually become the New Testament. Eyewitness stories, personal letters, poetry. There were 5 stories: Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Acts of the Apostles. History writings, if you will. 21 letters, the epistles, the list that you see there, written by Paul and others to churches. And then one extraordinary poem based on holy visions, and that is the Revelation of John. casual observer, the enthusiastic work of the early churches, they spread the good news of Jesus Christ was spontaneous rather than organized. You might even say it was haphazard rather than intentional. It's almost like it just happened, except it didn't. It was no accident. The Spirit of the living God was behind it all. In spite of that fact, however, the churches throughout the known world that had been planted by Paul and the disciples struggled. So Paul and others wrote letters to these early Christian communities to encourage them as they struggled to be faithful to Jesus in the often hostile environment of their first century Mediterranean world. Study of these epistles gives us a vivid impression of the problems these communities faced and some of the ways they sought to overcome them. The church in Corinth, to whom Paul was writing in our passage for this morning, was typical of the time. In this letter, Paul reminded the Corinthians that the church is supposed to be a place where all are welcome as we are, and all are free to be what God has created us to be. We're to be a community free from prejudice and distinction, where each of us are accepted in terms of our own unique contribution to the glory of God. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person that's in on it, everyone benefits. This means each person is necessary in the life of the community, and no one's purpose is trivial or unimportant. The church exists to be the very antithesis of a world filled with prejudice and distinction, violence and hatred. It is the holy calling of the church to embrace diversity, seek unity, pursue peace, and show love in the name of Jesus. In that word, we are all given something to do. The other night, I watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge about Army medic Desmond Doss, who enlisted to serve during World War II. Despite the absolute conviction of his belief as a Seventh-day Adventist and in God's commandment not to kill. During the Battle of Okinawa in May 1945, Corporal Doss single-handedly saved the lives of 75 soldiers on the battlefield. And as a conscientious objector, became the only World War II recipient of the Medal of Honor who did not carry a weapon into combat. It's a fascinating and heroic story. A scene in the movie depicts the military trial in which Doss was charged with insubordination and failure to obey orders for his refusal to carry a weapon during basic training. And in this scene, the judge who's convening the trial asks Private Doss the question, "Why is it so important to you, given your refusal to even touch a weapon, to serve in a combat unit?" heart of his response was this: I need to serve. I got the energy and the passion to serve as a medic, right in the middle with the other guys. No less danger, just while everybody else is taking life, I'm going to be saving it. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together. That last line really resonated with me. With white nationalists coming to U.S. this week to make a public display of their hateful and divisive ideology, it quite literally feels like the world in which we live is set on tearing itself apart. As you might have read in the pastor's message this week, Catherine, Steve, Lenora, and I have joined together with other faith leaders from around Gainesville to express our conviction that we are one human family. And we strongly reject beliefs that would tear our community apart. Tomorrow evening at 5:30, Lenora and I will join those faith leaders on the steps of City Hall to offer words of hope to our community. That Gainesville is a city of hope, a city of peace, a city of love. All of you are invited to come, to stand with congregations from around our city, and with your presence, say to the world that hate and violence have no place here. I thought that would get an amen. In the work of putting back together what the world tears apart, each person is given something to do to show who God is. Everyone gets in. Everyone benefits. In the video, people declared what they will do to show who God is with statements like, I will share the love of Jesus over a cup of coffee. I will honor God right where I am. I will stand up for what I believe. I will make the gospel relevant through my work and through my life. I imagine Corporal Doss would have said something like, I will use my energy and passion to serve God as an Army medic by saving lives and putting back together what gets torn apart. What's your I will? What have you been given to do that shows who God is? I invite you to really consider that question. You might begin by taking a blank piece of paper and writing the word, I will, at the top. Then open your Bible and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in its entirety. After a time of prayer and reflection, write down what God's Spirit places on your heart. As a matter of fact, that exercise could be a part of your response on Thursday as you pray over our city. to 5, our chapel will be open for prayer and candle lighting. There are going to be other houses of worship throughout the city open. You can go to another house of worship to show solidarity with brothers and sisters. Each person is given something to do to show you God. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. For this world to change, it will take every one of us getting in. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Pray with me as I pray these words from the Book of Common Prayer. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace, seriously, to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy division. Take away all hatred and prejudice, and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord. That, as there is but one body and one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity. And may with one mind and one mouth glorify thee. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. One with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world. The deeper our division as a country comes, the more those words which we pray as part of the liturgy that goes with this table resonate so deeply within my soul. Because you see, this is a remembrance meal. It is a memorial meal, of course. We remember that night when Jesus sat with his disciples. But the Gospel of John also tells us that after he got up from this table, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he knelt in prayer. And he prayed so fervently. Luke's Gospel tells us that he sweat blood. And what he was praying for us is that we might be one, like Jesus is one with the Father and the Spirit. And this is so much more than a memorial meal, because the very real spiritual presence of Jesus Christ is with us when we come to this table. And when we come from those chairs to these altar rails to receive the grace that God has given us, we come shoulder to shoulder with the people of all ages and races and colors that are gathered here, but also in the spirit of the community of saints who gather with us. It is the grace of God that is bestowed upon us through this simple bread and cup that makes us one. So we remember the night that Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to his Father in heaven. And he broke the bread. And he offered it to his friends and said, "Hey, eat. This is my body given for you. Eat this in remembrance." And when supper was over, he took the cup. And again, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and then offered it to his friends, saying, "Drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. And by your Spirit, give us those things that we uniquely can do to show a watching world who God is. Pour out your Spirit on this gift of bread and juice. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ so that we might be redeemed for all the world. Every one of us getting in on the action so that everyone benefits. If you're helping to serve communion, would you please come forward this morning and be prepared to make the table ready. And as they come, let me just share with you that in the United Methodist Church, one of the things that drew me to this denomination years ago was the open table. Everyone is welcome at this table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity, a member of any church for that matter. Simply come at the beck and call of the Holy Spirit to receive this grace that God has for you this morning. We do have gluten-free available for you. It's at the side stations here. If you would just let your server know as you come forward, they'd be happy to serve that to you. We do serve communion by means of intinction, which means that we will tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. You're invited to dip it into the cup. We ask that you begin coming forward to the station in front of your section by the front, and to the road to the left or turning to your right. You're welcome to kneel, to prayer, to sing with the worship team this morning. Come for all of this. gather with you for the worship of God. And I would ask this morning that as you receive this blessing, that you take the hand of the person near you so that we might just experience a little bit of oneness here this morning. But may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us thank you.
Thank you. to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said, you're rich or poor, wealth don't matter. Weak or strong, you know love is what we're after. We're all broken, but we're all in this together. God knows we stumble and fall. And he's the soul of the world who sent his son to save us all. And all the people said amen. Oh, and all the people said amen. Give thanks to the Lord for his love never ends. And all the people said amen.
Blessed are the poor in spirit who adorn our part. Blessed are the persecuted who pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another stars. Blessed is the kingdom of God.
And all the people said amen.
Oh, 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 and all the people said amen.
To the Lord for his love never ends, and all the people said amen, and all the people said amen, oh, 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 and all the people said amen, give thanks to the Lord for his love never ends, and all the people said amen. And all the people said amen.
Thank you.